Hello and welcome back to the podcast, We Are Selling, brought to you by Realtair, the home of Pitch, Sign and Sell. This week, we have him returning for our third part of the buyer management communication system. We had 1 week pop in there from Ingrid where we did anniversaries of anyone. And thank you for everyone's feedback on that. That went absolutely nuts in all three countries. But joining us today, he returns, Mr. Mark Kempwell. Mark, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much, Lee. Pleasure to be here again.
The first two tips have really opened people's eyes to a skill that I think has slipped. And what you brought to everyone's attention is buyer management is the first part of the customer experience. And most agents have got their guard down. They don't think about it. They definitely don't interview in order to assist and get that buyer to want to buy through you. And I can see why you, over these many, many years of high success, have converted so many buyer-sellers by playing your very best first grade first up in buyer management versus, yeah, go to the open, yeah, go there Wednesday, I suppose. And then today we're going to move on with the sequence of communication and the frequency of contact. Take us into what we're going to do today.
Surely. Yeah, well, the first one was around investigation or the interview like we spoke about. And the whole idea of that is getting a deep understanding of the person that you are dealing with or the persons you're dealing with on the other end of the phone or the email or whatever way that you're communicating. Once you've got that full picture, then it needs to be put into tribes or categories in a way that you can continue dealing with that person and servicing them to the nuances of what's important to them, what success looks like for them. Now we can go into a further concept, which I sort of refer to this when I'm speaking to the teams that in my company-owned offices and also the companies that we work with here through our Nexa business, which effectively is bolting the whole tier one back end of Presence Real Estate into other businesses that want to benefit from that long-standing infrastructure. And that difference is it's farming versus foraging. And it's got to do with having tribes organized, and we have communication plans to each of those. So I can help now just give an understanding of some ratios to work with for people that we deal with in tags or categories as buyers, and also how that daisy chains over into dealing with people that are potential sellers within a marketplace so you can continue to build your market share.
And Mark, just for our listener, with your company-owned offices, how many buyers would be in that buyer pool?
Yeah, so we deal with over 200,000 contacts that are there with full Privacy Act consent to be on the system, of which at the moment, I think last check, it's in the order of 60,000 active buyer match profiles. So that's 60,000 prospective buyers that have told us what they are after, the suburbs, the price points, what's important to them. And those profiles stay active up until usually when they've purchased. Some people leave them active afterwards to keep watching, but they do unsubscribe reasonably quickly once they've purchased. So that way we're only communicating with people that are wanting to be dealt with.
And how many buyer sellers would you have in that?
Over 10,000 at any given time. So that's 10,000 people that have got a property that will trade as a result of purchasing. So that doesn't need to be in our area either. We still treat people that aren't in our area with a level of intention, a level of support, and then we can help them match up with an agent that's in their area if they want to sell or anything like that. But over 10,000 at any given time are in that category.
That is absolutely unbelievable. And we look at people in the world of lead generation and prospecting, and I'm excited by this sequence of interviews because, Mark, my greatest skill was buyer management. That was my number one listing stream. I knew every week if I did 26 buyer appointments, which everyone thought was nuts, but I'd pull six appraisals out of that. And I didn't do anything else but get very, very good at that. Whereas I noticed around me, everyone would be trying 20 things to generate business. And it was too wise. You got to become ninja level at something. But with 10,000 buyer sellers, and again, how many referrals are there for other people around the, like someone's moving from the Northern Beaches or Perth, whatever it is, they've still got a trade in. And I think we underestimate just how powerful that is.
Yeah. Well, look, even if you look at basic ratios, Lee, like they're a warmer audience when they've identified they are looking to purchase and they are looking to trade or have a property managed out as a result of purchasing. So they can flip from a seller to a potential landlord very quickly. But even if you use an average ratio like 5%, 5% of most regions, particularly near metro areas, will turn over their properties each year. This comes right back into understanding if you're going to market an area and call yourself an area expert, just how many people you need to be tracking in that area as a potential vendor. But as a potential buyer, the ratios are very strong. If you just use our company-owned offices, like I talk about with Presence Real Estate throughout Newcastle and Lake Macquarie, we're tracking 10,000 buyer ones, people that are going to trade as a result of buying, whether before or after. There's 500 there alone just on the 5% ratio. Now, if we deal with them better, we've got a better chance of getting more than those. So it's a gold mine for our team. Our team know that. They respect the guidelines. They put the effort in and they're getting better every day. I'm not going to sort of make out that it's some perfect utopia just because we've got systems. You're still dealing with salespeople that are busy, that have a lot of time pressure. I don't think they deliberately avoid using systems to be anti-system. I just think that sometimes they are used to their own ways. But if we can bring some order to what is very chaotic out there in the general real estate market, then you can start doing what farmers do. They plant the seeds, they water, they nurture, they keep pests away, and then they look after things at the critical times. Now, that's the right to get to pitch on these properties later. You don't automatically get it because you've communicated for a long time, but you do get the right to go in there and harvest those crops, and you're maybe only fending off the bugs and birds that are hovering around at the time. You're not dealing with things that come at a systemic level far upstream.
Yeah, so what you've built here is the ultimate nurturing process and having the agents understand without that initial interview detail, we can't do all the great stuff later on that converts. Take us into this frequency of communication. What are you sending? What are you doing?
Okay, so when we talked about categorization last time with buyer ones, buyer twos, buyer threes, buyer fours, we don't need to dive into that again. That's more to do with their status and where they're up to personally. When we get into dealing with an area that we want to consider ourselves an expert at, whether it's a type of property, whether it's a geography, or whether it's a price point or a combination of each of those, these are the things that I believe when you get more advanced at buyer work that you really need to home in on if you're going to call yourself an area expert or gain any kind of market share in a product type or an area. So I'm recommending that people use tags or something similar to tags, categories, to go a further level for who they are communicating with personally. So for example, if you're an agent working primarily $1 to $2 million properties within a certain area, now that area might have, say, 2,400 homes that on a 5% ratio will roughly produce you 120 sales per year in that area. So if we're going to have 120 sales per year in that area, that's 10 per month. And if you had 10 per month in that area, you would be 100% market share. Not many agents I know have got 100% market share unless they're the only agent in a small regional community or something like that. But usually you're pretty happy when you're starting to get above 20%. So you start to realize how many areas that you've got to be marketing to and how many people you've got to be communicating with if you want to be dealing with them when they're ready. And what I'd suggest is even though you've got hot, warm, cold in your system that works for the interest level of that contact, whichever CRM you've got, that applies to the whole agency. If you're dealing with buyers in a particular area regularly, I know as an area expert in an area, if I was working as an agent, I'd want to make sure that every buyer that could be a buyer for properties in that area are dealing with us in some way, which you get to over time, especially if you're doing this right. So I would suggest having a hot buyer category for 0 to 1 million, 1 to 1.5, 1.5 to 2, and say 2 to 3 million. If you're dealing with mostly stuff between 1 and 2 million, or you're targeting to deal with that more. And in that hot category, you would want to be dealing with probably 30 or more hot buyers at any given time for that geography that you are communicating with. In warm, you can double that number because warm have usually got an event to happen before that they will go forward. Remembering hot, warm, cold is about their intention, their willingness, and their ability to act. If you've got a hot buyer, that's someone who intends to buy when they find the right property. They want to buy when they find the right property and they're able to sign a contract within hours or a day or so when they find it. And when you get into warm, there's things that they're waiting for to happen or their preferences changing. And when they're cool or cold, they don't have a specific intention now as far as time frame goes, but they could nurture along. So we want to be nurturing the hot, warm, cold by tags in our system that we are communicating with.
This is so powerful. and the communications that go out, what are those, what are the best things you're sending that's getting the best response?
Yeah, they're great questions, Lee. And this is where you get to build your own nuances into the market. But think about it in terms of conversations. If you're having a two-way loop of communication, so if something goes out by SMS and you get a response back, that's a two-way loop. If we have a two-way loop in communication by SMS, by phone call, and by email, they are all a two-way interaction. Some of those are broader and blunter, like email, or even more passive to put something out on social media. You're really just hoping that someone's coming back to you, especially if it's a large category. If you're getting into sending SMS marketing, I'm really big on SMS marketing. It's one of the most effective out there. It's real time. It's on your screen. It's coming up in the notifications all the time. But it comes with a strong but. That is, if you're going to send an SMS, make sure it's to someone that you're at the stage of you can pick up the phone and they would know who you are. Or when they get it, they willingly look at it and go, thank you. If you're sending SMSs out, and it's not to someone that is predisposed to needing that kind of communication, you'll just end up with a lot of unsubscribes and your laziness will actually ruin your database. So SMS to me is to someone that you're already in that two-way communication with and they will welcome the introduction.
Yeah, I agree with you. If you've been face-to-face and you could pick up the phone and ring and they know who you are, that qualifies them for SMS. And I agree with you. SMS is such a fast-paced communication process. I know myself, Mark, from the stage, I do the text back and people receive information. So when I launch something, I can just go, anyone who saw me in the last month, there's all their mobile numbers, shoot it straight out. But I've had the advantage that we've been in the same room eyeball to eyeball, that it's not offensive and it's a notification. And I think that's the difference. Notification marketing is very different to cell marketing. And even when I've got people on the phones for me, they could be ringing you, Mark, but they're not ringing you to sell you a seat to the complete salesperson. I just want you to know it's on and you can make a decision what you do yourself. And that notification marketing is right in this channel of classiness for buyer management where they just see you as a great agency. And I'm speaking about this a lot at the moment. We don't need a prospecting program anymore. We need a communications plan because the world's been prospected. And everyone's got this fake funnel lead channel going on and robots throwing stuff out. But you've got to know how to blend that, connect it, and market to someone who understands who you are, what you are, but will give you that professional respect as a property advisor. And that word's an interesting word, just that we are in the property advising business. We're advising on what homes they can purchase. We're advising to the sellers what they could do to have a price improvement plan on their property, and suddenly you're a better communicator. And that's what I really love about how we've approached this buyer management segment of being on the program. But people are now understanding just how deep you're going to get the right information to the right people.
Yeah, sure. I'm with you so much on that with SMS. If you're unsure on SMS, if you're unsure whether it's right to hit send on that 150 or 300 SMSs at once, then don't send it. Because it's a hell yes or it's a no with SMS, just because the value of the marketing is so good. So I would suggest something on this line. Start with your age buyer inquiry list, people that haven't been communicated with in a two-way fashion by anyone in your agency for more than 90 days. It will be the majority of your contacts in most agencies. Most agencies are directly communicating with 5 to 10% of the people in their database, which are the 5 to 10% making inquiries, the 5 to 10% of saying that, yes, I'm going to sell soon, 5 to 10% of people that are going through properties, et cetera. All the rest of them will be usually, the majority will be previous inquiries. If you're talking sales here, previous inquiries, price, when's it available? Can I get through it? Are there any offers, stuff like that? And they're going through starting in email format with capture forms from the portals a lot of the time. Now, a lot of those will have their phone number. So start with that. Ring those people, ask them if you can help them better, like in the first buyer investigation call. Ask them some additional questions and you will end up in this situation. Once you now have a category, a tag, a temperature, all the things that we've already talked about, now you can add them into a more detailed communication plan that they will consent to during part of your call. And every time you're sending them something, you're checking basically if it's what they want and where they're up to with things. That would be a phone call starting, go to SMS and email marketing afterwards and watch for a response works best with people, watch the times of the day. But I'll give you some cadence as far as how often. So hot buyers, if you've got them in a category for an area, so let's say hot buyers for a specific priority marketing area one, that would be once a week. You're dealing with them once a week. Now, they might not buy for a year and a half, but if they are ready to buy, if they want to buy, and if they're able to buy, then once a week, unless they tell you less because they're looking for something that's really nuanced, like a development site or in a particular area that the homes turn over like every couple of years. If it's warm, then it's probably between once a fortnight and once a month. Things can change quickly. So you're looking for status changes in that. You're looking for that two-way communication loop. You're looking for the preferences on what they want to do. When you get off one call, you set the next reminder or you leave the track in place that's already got a reminder on it. And cold or cool, these are people that aren't really intending on doing something in the next 12 months, but something could change. Once a quarter should be fine on that. Bearing in mind, they're going to be getting some level of newsletter, automation, company marketing, brand marketing, stuff in their letterbox. They're seeing stuff everywhere. So there's multiple opportunities for them to interact. And that those touch points, if they're done correctly and the agency that you're working with is doing its part, then those data points will come back in as interactions in your data lake or your CRM from all the different places that that comes from.
That now gives us a communication sequence and a frequency. Final questions for you. Many, many years ago, I brought to the marketplace the importance of data structure. And this has got nothing to do with the type of CRM, the CRM you use, but how you structure data. And a big conversation that I had to get off the ground was service area. You are servicing an area. And the rule of thumb there was you never delete a dwelling because that dwelling will trade one day and the dwelling is the parent record and then the relationship to that record is the person. So a classic example, Mark, I could be working with you as a purchaser. It's been 3 months and I'm ringing you on my Wednesday because it's my check-in day. You're one of my hot buyers. And sure enough, this happens to the hottest of hot buyers. And you say, Lee, thanks for all your help. But we bought a home on the weekend from LJ Hooker and we found somewhere. Now, most agents will go delete and move on versus Mark, where did you buy? You bought 9 Marshall Street. That's right in the center of my turf. What did you pay for it? And whatever you paid for it, let's say you said $850. Oh, you did well. That would have been $950 with us, Mark. Well done. And at the end of this call, I'm going to shoot you a link to all the surrounding sales of 12 Marshall Street. And I'm going to update it every 6 months for you because if you need to get an assessment in the future, I'm here to assist you, but you're right in the main part of town where I work. And it was fantastic trying to find you somewhere, but I'm just glad you found somewhere. You're a future door. 12 Marshall Street that I didn't know the owner of, but I had the dwelling. I just have to update your details to that new door because we have the relationship. I know your kids' names, your wife's names, every email, every mobile number, but the amount of people that delete doors in a world that we claim doors is unbelievable. What's your view on this?
I'm 100% aligned with that view, Lee. So look, the CRMs are just generally people and properties. So most of them are going to be people or properties. It's going to be a solicitor. It's going to be a member of the community. It's going to be an advertising rep trying to sell you something. They're all people. So the contact records go against those people with their contact details and their email and their phone number and all the things that go right. When you know who you're talking with, that sits in the people side. The property side, like you said, you don't delete the address. Like it might get carved up into strata lots, but that address is going to stay there. So we want to keep that address and we want to have a related contact to that address. Even if they're a property owner with no intention of ever moving, or they're a tenant that is residing in that property, that is fine as long as you know that. So that when someone else in the company goes to prospect them later, they can have a look there and they can see under related records that there was a tenant there 6 months ago. Fair chance that tenant's still there, but it's going to help them understand. So every team member in a company firstly needs to embrace, I believe, that none of us are as great as the sum of us. If we want to serve the community and the consumer the way that they are getting served in other areas, then we need to be putting things in the system that could be of value to us and our relationship with them or another team member and their relationship with them as a result of seeing the interactions. And if we don't do that, this is where it gives rise to SaaS products and AI and things along those lines that are very valuable and we use them to the nth degree. But doing it instead of an agent that is not doing it well. Because if it's done 60% well over a long period of time, it's going to be definitely done better than an agent not doing it at all.
Mark, couldn't agree more. And I want to thank you for this incredible three-part interview that we've done on biomanagement. You've been one of our highest rating podcasts as we look at the downloads every week and what shows people like. Which brings my final question. I know our next couple of weeks of programming, we've got people that we're bringing in, but will you return in the future and do a vendor management three-part series?
Lee, the answer is yes, because I'm passionate about improving the standard of real estate skills in the real estate industry. Because if we can improve it from the leading agency's point of view, that drags up the others, so it gives better consumer experience, and it makes those that are already doing well come on their toes better to improve further. Then we've got a chance of being an industry that people aspire to be in, want to stay in and enjoy with their particular craft. So the answer is yes to that. And I'll close off on this with the buyer side of it, Lee, that when we get to this level that we're SMSing, phone calling with buyers, and they know who we are and they're getting communications with us that they're willingly looking out for, this is where we don't have the dependency on the external or passive kinds of marketing. We still absolutely use it. But if we really are serious about this industry, instead of foraging and going around in underneath and looking for nuts and berries to get our next meal, like you see a lot of agents do, we're farming. It's orderly. There's consistency. We know when things are due to mature, when the fruit is ready to pick. Now, that doesn't mean there's going to be birds. There's going to be acts of God. There's going to be others coming in and stealing your fruit. Fine. But if you've got a system of planting and you know what's coming, then it gives you something to depend on and you can keep forging ahead from there, improving as you go.
Absolutely unbelievable. Mr. Mark Kentwell, thank you for joining us and we look forward to your future three-part series on a well-informed owner's easy to manage and our vendor management segment. But thank you for your contribution.
Thank you, Lee.